Now, we're here for one reason, that is to lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not here to impress anybody or to bring any kind of glory into any of us here. We're here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize that when we lift Him up, He lifts us up. And I'm glad for that today and thankful for that today. You'll be looking up 1 Peter chapter 5, a familiar scripture here. And I'd like to get into the Word this morning. And appreciate your prayers and appreciate what you're doing for the church and for the Lord. And again, we're glad to see those who are able to be here today, haven't been able for a while. And church, we're in a battle. Just want to be plain about this. This is a warfare. We saw one of the pictures on the in the paper. I think it was maybe one of the Church of Christ over at Lead Hill or something said something like this. This is a battleship, not a cruise ship. Is that what it said? Something along that line. And I believe that's where we're at. I believe that's where we're at. This is a warfare going on. This is a battle going on. But how many knows who's the winner? How many know who's going to win this battle we're in today? Praise God. It's going to be us because of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So if you got 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you would stand with us. Amen. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, your adversary the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, and whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Let us pray. Father, today, thank you for this service, for the testimony, Lord, of our dear friends, the Tyners, that God, you've been with them for 60 years and still walking with them. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon their life. Lord, we praise you today, Lord, for this service. We thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would anoint me to say what you want said. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, Lord, speak to their hearts. If there's maybe some here that are downtrodden and pressed down, Lord, we know that you're that strength in the time of trouble. Lord, anoint us to say what you want said today, and we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's just give another clap of praise here today. Amen. God is so worthy. So appreciative of that. You know, I have discovered something in my little walk with the Lord, that God works in spite of me. Amen. There doesn't matter what my abilities are, or even doesn't look at my failures. God still works in the midst of my walk with Him. And I'm preaching today with this kind of thought right here, is withstanding the attack. And folks, I believe that the church, Sister Marty brought forth about how the attack of the Antichrist spirit was going about, trying to pull out Christ and so on and so forth. I can tell you right now, we're under attack as the church body, but not only as a church that believes in Jesus Christ, I believe that we as families are under attack. Let's just back up one step. I believe we as our church are under attack. I believe not only is our church under attack, I believe that we as individuals are under attack. And I tell you, church, I want to hopefully say something today that will encourage you to simply know that we can withstand the attack. How many believes we can stand? Praise God. There's an avenue that happens here is when we are young Christians, it seems like we have a different battle that maybe some of the older Christians have. And there's also a battle goes on for those that know God is who He is, but yet have not committed their life to Christ. That's another battle that goes on and rages. It almost is like a tug of war. But folks, I want to go and talk just a moment here about simply the attack and the pressure that comes on us in our life. And I had a difficult time convincing our son, Travis. I thought about you this morning while I was going through this in my mind, and I was thinking about where we're at and what's going on. And as you, as Christians, you have pressure come on you. You have problems come your way, and there's things just going to happen. You can't find the scripture that'll tell you that you're going to get in some kind of spiritual plateau, that there's not going to be a spiritual battle. But folks, I want to tell you something today. When you go through that battle, there's some strength that comes in you that the world can't take from you. I had a difficult time, Travis. William had a pretty tough coach when he was just a young boy. And old Coach Tate, he was Mike Tate. He's a good friend of ours. And he was pretty tough on him. And William would be out there playing all the kids. Everybody was the same. And there would come a time he would begin to hit some ground balls to him, simple things. And maybe he wasn't concentrating and the ball would run between his legs. And maybe that would happen a couple of times. And Coach Tate had something to do. He said, "You miss another ground ball, you're going to have to run poles." Any baseball players here? And I would try, Travis, to convince him that, "Son, this is going to help you." And while he was out there, and bless his heart, he was like his daddy. He wasn't designed and he wasn't a runner when he was younger. Amen. But he would be out there just huffing and barely able to make it. He would strive and he would try. He'd run that pole from one side to the other and get back. And you know what? The same circumstances was still real then. He still had to focus on the game. He still had to be in control of what he was going to do. And man, and I kept telling him, I said, "Look, son, it's going to be all right. It's going to make you stronger." And I don't think at that age I ever could convince him that that was going to help him. Anybody ever had trouble being able to be convinced that troubles is going to help you? I'm telling you right now that when you go through the battle of your life, it's going to help you. I'm here to proclaim to you right now, when you get knocked to the very bottom and God is on your side and you begin to rise up, it's going to help you. And you know what? Here's what he can do now. He's went through all those times. Here's what he can do now. Before he gets out of college to go on his break, he has to run a 13:30. You know what that is? That's run 2 miles in 13 minutes and 30 seconds. I said, "Son, I can't drive it that fast." "I don't even want to drive that fast." Here's my point. Those things way back there that didn't seem like it was a help, it was. These things that you're going through right now, you think, "I don't deserve this." You think, "Well, it doesn't mean nothing. He probably could go home and come up with a big reason." Well, my goodness, it was just one ground ball. Why should I have to run poles? Amen. Travis is back there laughing. You've been there, haven't you, son? And you say, "Why?" And you may be walking this walk and say, "It's just a little thing. It doesn't amount to nothing." The little things amount to a lot of big things. Praise God. Why do you think the scripture says the little foxes spoil the vine? It's not that I'm going to commit a great sin or you're going to commit a great sin. It's the fact that we don't take care of the little ones. Amen. Anybody with me? Withstanding the attack. We've got to stand when this attack begins to come on. I'm not going to take time to go back and read, but how many remembers Joseph? Now just remember back. Joseph, he probably could have said a few things a little bit, not said them, and it probably would have helped him. It probably would have been better for him if he hadn't told his brothers they was going to bow down to him. Anybody remember that scripture? It might have just helped him if he'd have kept that to himself, Brother Mike, and hadn't brought that out. But listen, he began to go through some things. He began to be stole. He was sold by his brothers. Hello? Thought he was dead. Got rid of him, Brother Wendell. They got rid of that little arrogant rascal. Didn't want him around. And they got him out of their life. So they thought, amen. So he goes. He's slowed out to slavery. He comes into Potiphar's house. And without going into great details, he was in a place. He was standing for God. And Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. Amen. Tried to get him to commit some sinful lifestyle with her. And tried to get her to allow him to lay with her and so on and so forth. He left her clothes in her hand. He fled from her because he knew that was the right thing to do. Everybody still with me? What happened? He had to go to prison for that. Because of the lie that went on. So did Joseph deserve any of these things? No, he didn't. Do you and I, does the church deserve the attack that we're going through? We probably don't deserve the attack. But I'm here to tell you right now, church, when we hold out faithful, it's going to come in the end. We're going to be victorious like nobody can take it from us. How many wants to be victorious in your walk with God? Praise God. Joseph found himself in a place. He had God begin to move in his life. He had a promise to get out of there, and that fell through. Couldn't depend on nobody. Can I tell you right now who you can depend on? Jesus. Can you depend on mom and daddy? No, sir. No, ma'am. Can you depend on the preacher? No way. He's just human too. He'll let you down. He'll hurt your feelings. He'll not do what you want to do. Can you depend on your wife or your husband? They'll let you down too, but I can tell you, Jesus will never fail you. I'm just glad for that power we've got in our lives. We're standing the attack. Joseph came through. Joseph came to a place in his life. He came to a place that he had to really realize this. He had to forgive his brothers. He was, and God put him in a place that he could actually have their lives taken. He was in control of them having enough food to survive and even eat. I mean, remembers that. Like I said, this is a long situation. I can't do it justice talking about it. But he also had to find himself in a place to make a choice and forgive his brothers. Isn't it something how God always brings us back where we should have been to start with? Hello? He does that for us, doesn't he? Folks, I want to go this avenue right now. We'll probably go back and visit on this. In Luke chapter 22, talking about Peter. We've talked about Peter a lot down through life. Peter ought to encourage all of us. He was rough and gruff, made mistakes, done bad things, and the Lord still blessed him. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I pray thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I want to talk a little bit about the tug of war in our lives right now. There's a warfare going on that you and I cannot see. There's a battle going on that you and I can't see. My mind goes back to my dad, and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And my wife can agree with this. I have prayed, and we have prayed, and different ones have prayed for dad. There come a point in my life with him. I didn't pray that dad wouldn't get sick. I began to pray that my Lord wouldn't let him die unsaved. Y'all sleep back there? I begin to pray, God, don't let my daddy die unsaved. Can I tell you something, folks, this morning, ma'am and sir, when there's somebody praying for your soul and somebody standing in the gap between you and God and standing and being that buffer between you and the devil and pleading the blood of Christ, there are things that happen that you and I cannot see. There's a tug of war going on for your soul that you and I can't see. There's a battle and a warfare going on that you and I don't understand. But I'm here to tell you right now, as long as we're staying on the Lord's side, when somebody's on the Lord's side, things change. Praise God. Dad didn't have a chance. Oh, you say, preacher, it's a free will. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You've got to make a choice to serve him or not serve him. Nobody's going to do you. Nobody's going to make you serve God. It's your choice to make. But I can tell you right now, when somebody is pleading the blood of Christ, somebody is praying. We begin, I've shared this with you before. The enemy of our soul, the devil, you know, some pastors are probably trained not to talk about the devil, but I can tell you he's a real spirit out there. He's real. Cannot battle this within ourselves. We got to have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. As we realize that, I begin to pray. I begin to plead the blood of Christ. I begin to get in a place and saying, God, I know that you're in control. Anybody glad the Lord's still in control? I'm glad he's still in control. As I was seeing that, you know what was going on? There was a warfare going on. You know what happened at my mom and dad's home? My mama, that was a Christian all my growing up years. I you say, preacher, you've told us before, but I feel like reiterating again this morning. All the years that I've been growing up, mama took me to church. Mama was the one that took me to church. Mama's the one that told me about Jesus. Mama was the one that was faithful, not my daddy. And you know what happened when my daddy turned his life to Jesus? The devil jumped on my mama. But can I tell you right now, brother and sister, you and I, by the help and the grace of God, we can withstand the attack. Through Jesus Christ, somebody says, I can't handle it no more. Praise God. I'll get to that point here in a minute. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, as that tug of war goes on, in Ephesians chapter 6, he says to stand. Stand, therefore, when you've done all that you know to do, stand. How many is willing to stand for Jesus? As we stand when it seemed like we can't stand no more, my Lord is in a place to give us strength. Peter, in John chapter 18, you'll find Peter that had no desire. If you'll look back in the scriptures, you'll find where Peter told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'll go with you till I die. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll be right there with you." Praise God. But Peter was not taking into consideration the attack of the enemy on his mind. He wasn't taking into consideration the attack of the enemy upon his soul. But I can tell you right now, the Lord said, "Peter, I'm praying that your faith hold out." Praise God. When you're converted, in other words, Peter, when you've sold out to me, there's going to be a strength in you like you've never seen before. That's how that you and I are able to withstand the attack, simply committing our life to Christ. Holy. Everything. Lord, it's in your hands. You know, if David, how many remembers when David was going up against Goliath? Did you ever hear David say this? "Well, Goliath, I'm coming to you because I'm a top-notch slang shot shooter." Well, I got on a limb there. "I'm coming to you, Goliath, because I can throw this rock like you ain't never seen, big boy." Is that what he said? He didn't come to Goliath and say, "Well, bless God, Goliath, I have a daddy or I have a mama or I've got a church, Goliath. I've got knowledge, Goliath. I've been a ball player. I've been to college. I know what I'm talking about. I can speak different languages." Not one time did David say anything like that. Not one time did David say, "Within me or within who I am." David said, "Goliath, amen, you come to me with a sword." Praise God. How many realize the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy? John 10 and 10. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life." Can somebody wave your hand at life Jesus gives us? Praise God. David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." Amen. Brother Mike, he didn't come to him in some kind of ability. He come with him and against him by the power of God. And church, I can tell you, when you and I withstand the attack upon our minds, upon our soul, upon our church, we'll come to the world and we'll come to this enemy by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a clap of praise in this house. It won't be because I went to seminary. It won't be because I have documents or I have letters past my name. It will be because I'm baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost and because I have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life. That's where I get my strength. David said, "This day I'll have your head." Peter jumps up and says, "Now you know, Jesus, I'll never leave you. And I'll be right there with you. I'm with you till I die." Peter just had some dying to do himself. And I believe some of us find that same place. I'll touch on this real quick. Folks, I can tell you right now, it's important that we leave things away. I mean, the scriptures you talked about this morning, you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to have to love one another. You go looking up love, and when you see one another, you'll see it more often than anything else when it connects to want to love. Love one another. Love them as you love yourself. Love your neighbor. No greater love than a man who'd lay down his life for a friend. Woo! My goodness. If you hate your neighbor, you're as a murderer. Love is what covers the multitude. You know what happens? Oh, I got plenty of time. You know what happens when there's somebody you love does something? You look at it differently. Now, if this one here that says A87 does something, that one right there is going to look at him different. My mama, she'll probably hear this tape. I don't know if I told this before, but it sounds like I'm going to tell it again. William, mama made this comment when William was little. She said he'd get mad when you and Teresa wasn't home when he thought you should be. Man, this has turned out about, I'm sorry, son. And she said, "Son, I'd really kind of have to defend myself." He'd get so aggravated and just start swinging. Now, really, I'm talking about love. And I said, "Well, what?" I said, "I know that's how he was. That's why I give him so many whippings." And, well, she said, "Now, son, that's before he got saved." What's your point, preacher? My point is, if that was some other little red-headed boy, she'd be ready to whip his bottom. Well, brown-headed or whatever he is. If that was somebody else, she would look at it differently. Hello? Let's get real about this. You and I go through life and we have people that cross our paths. Let's just put it here in our little church. We have people that's in our congregation. That's our friend. If you can't, let me just tell you this. If you can't and I can't love these folks here, then where are we at? If we can't love the brother, you better get your relationship back with Jesus Christ. Because you're missing it. And if I look at that, you know, I look at somebody differently. Yes, I realize that. Love covers a multitude of sin. And if it's somebody else does this or says that or this happens or that happens, it's a different thought. But listen, oh my Lord, church, we got to treat everybody as the Lord treats us. He doesn't look at me as because I've done this or done that. He looks at me because he loves me. And when you and I get to the place that we can love him and love our neighbors and love those around us, that we don't matter what's going on. If they got a problem, can I give you some advice? Pray for them. Amen. It's not time to condemn and run off and make fun of and talk about it. It's time to bring together and pray. And realize that the word isn't real and alive. In church, I'm talking about the attack. You've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because the devil is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Brother Billy Bowers, he wouldn't care if I shared this years ago. He and I worked together. And we were just close, always been close. And he was right there with me, right there close. And there was, I can't remember the situation. There was a situation come up with management, and I was involved, and he was involved. And absolutely, the devil twisted it and thought there was something different going on. Billy was aggravated at me for probably 2 months. I had no idea what was going on. And one day, it came to a head. It just come up like an erupting volcano. And he said, "You done this, and you done that." And I never got aggravated. I said, "That was not what happened. This is what happened." You know what Billy did? He broke down and wept. He said, "That was a lie from the devil, wasn't it, son?" And you know what that was boiling down to? It was an attack on the relationship. You think your relationship with God is okay? I can tell you right now, the attack is going on against your relationship with the Lord. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you." Let me tell you, sir, let me tell you, ma'am, when you start moving close to God, you start recognizing the need of Jesus Christ in your life. Get ready, the attack is coming. He will do anything. My Heavenly Father, he's a gentleman. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. But I can tell you right now, the enemy, the lion that's thinking whom he made about, he's not a gentleman. He will do whatever he can do to distract you from serving God. He'll put this up in your way. He'll put that up in your way. He'll sit on this shoulder whispering this ear. And if you don't listen here, he'll jump over to this ear and he'll talk to you. He'll use your friends. He'll use your church. He'll use your loved ones. He'll use your mama. He'll use your daddy. He'll use your kids. He'll use whatever he can do to distract you from getting close to Jesus. It's an attack on your soul. It's where it's at. We've got to shore up and realize my God is greater than anything that comes my way. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Peter's mind was bombarded. Praise God. Peter backs up to the fire in John chapter 18. He backs up to the fire and they said, this Samaritan woman said, "Aren't you one of them, John?" Peter? He said, "No. Not me. That ain't me. No, it ain't me. I've seen you with that Jesus. No. Not me. Uh-uh." And cursed real big and said, "That's not me." After Jesus had just told him a chapter back and said, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Amen. Peter was boisterous. He was bold. Praise God. But I can tell you right now, church, it doesn't matter how strong we think we are. It doesn't matter how mighty I may think I am. We can't do it without Jesus Christ. He found himself there. And as Peter denied the last time and cursed the last breath, the rooster began to crow. Right there, Peter backed up. I love this part. Peter backed up to the fire saying that he wouldn't know in Jesus. That wasn't him. No, it ain't me. The last thing Peter wanted to do was fail. And folks, I can tell you right now from the depths of my heart, the last thing I want to do is fail. And as your pastor, there's many times, Brother Eldon, I have to say, "Lord, I can't handle this by myself. I'm going to have you to strengthen me to be an overcomer." Just because I preach and just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm perfect. I have to have the Lord on my side too. Peter, in chapter 21 of John, you remember what I said? Where he left him is where he found him. He left Christ at the fire And where are you going to find him? He found him right back at the fire. Jesus over there, fixing up some fish. How many likes to eat fish? I don't think Peter expected what he's going to have. In verse 10 in chapter 21 of St. John's, Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which I have now caught. Peter went up, drew the net in the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Jesus said, come and dine. Back up to verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Right where Peter left him was right where he found him. That makes me want to shout. What's that mean, preacher? I found Christ humbling myself, weeping around an old-fashioned altar is where I found him. And I had times in my life that I've not walked with him. And you know where I found him? Right where I left him. Do you have to be in a church house and around an altar bench? No, you don't have to be. It's awful good, though. Amen. Amen. It's awful good when you got people around you praying. That's a great place to come and know him. But I can tell you, church, you can find the Lord driving down the road. You can find him in your bathroom, in your bedroom. Praise God, walking down the aisles. Jesus is just a whisper away. His ear's not sure. His ear's not deaf, and his hand's not short that he doesn't still save. He's still in the saving business. The attack. Withstanding the attack, I've been shocked. I'm going to share this with you. When we're talking about salvation, my uncle was around 90 years old when he passed away. Uncle Ed, he was a dandy. And I loved him. He was like a grandpa to me. And his mind would go in and out. And I found him at the hospital for a moment. And I'd never talked to him about salvation. And I found him there in a state of mind that he knew what was going on. Some of you have heard me say this. Just bear with me. And as I looked at him, I said, Uncle Ed, I said, what about your soul? I'm still preaching about surviving the attack, withstanding the attack. I said, Uncle Ed, I said, what about your soul? What about being saved, Uncle Ed? And he looked at me and he said, I can't be saved. Still just tears my heart up. I said, why can't you be saved? He said, I can't read and I can't write. And folks, if I could have gripped the devil by the throat, Brother Roy, I would have choked him with all my might because he'd lied to my uncle for all these years that he couldn't be saved because he couldn't read, couldn't write. Lying, dirty, dogging devil is what he is. He was attacking my uncle's mind and convincing him that he couldn't. Can I tell you this? If you're in this position, you can and you will when you call on Jesus. I didn't get to hear him confess with his mouth and believe with his heart. I didn't get to hear that, but my prayer is that my uncle confessed that Jesus was his Lord. I said, Uncle Ed, all you've got to do, I took him down the Roman road, all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died and you can be saved. That love, that word I love to pronounce, I love to repeat, whosoever. That means an old 90-year-old man that can't read and write can still be saved. That means Saddam Hussein, who doesn't believe in God, if he comes to the cross of Jesus Christ, he can be saved. That means those that think Jesus is just a good man, amen, and deceived by the lies of the false doctrines and come to Jesus Christ, they can be saved and survive the attack. Withstand the attack of the enemy. I want to touch real quick on Christians, and I'm going to touch another and go over into Psalm. First of all, I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 23, I'm sorry. David's mighty men, verse 11, and after him was Shemaiah, the son of Agi. The Herite, 2 Samuel 23, verse 11. And the Philistines were gathered together in the troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I have determined as your pastor that I'm going to stand. My dear friend, Brother Coy Widener, preached this years ago. He preached with the title like this: Stand in the Pea Patch and Defend It. Lentils are a type of peas. Shemaiah was there, and all those that was going to help him, Brother Bobby, fight against the Philistines coming in, they all fled. They all ran. They all left him there. Folks, I tell you, sometimes you feel like you stand alone, but as your pastor, and I believe you and I as individuals need to come up with this understanding and this desire that no matter what comes our way, when we see little things begin to pop up, we're going to put it under the blood. When we begin to see things happen, we're going to stand against it. How many is with me on this? I want to preach against it, stand against it, sing against it, and stand for Jesus. Praise God, as he stood there in the middle of that pea patch by himself. Folks, I want to tell you right now, if, Sister Marty said that, I call it a satanic word. It's not if, but God has done great things for you, and God is on your side, and God will be with you until this world is over, and God shall be walking right with you. And when, praise God, when you get to the place that you said, I'm going to stand, I'm going to defend what God has given for me, I'm not going to run from this battle, you're going to see great things happen. Shemaiah stood there in the midst of that pea patch and that sword in his hand, I would assume, and said, my God has given this to me and I'm not going to let go. You go back to the other mighty men. He was fought such a fight. He had said his hand even clave to the sword. Praise God. He had fought such a battle. Amen. In the battle there that his hand was just ready and still gripping the sword. Praise God. If you and I will grip this word of God, put this word of God in our minds and in our hearts, we will see victories like we've never seen before. Never run, never backing up from what you see the attack coming on. You praise God and say, my God, you must have something good coming my way. Are you with me? That old saying, the darkest before the dawn, has got a lot of truth to it. Greatest battles happen just before the greatest victories. And so many come so close and quit. And say, nah, not going to win this battle. Yes, you can through Jesus. I mean, believes that the battle's not yours, the battle's his. Standing in the pea patch, withstanding the attack, is where we're at. Psalms, about to close. Sometimes you have to come to this place in your life. The attacks that come your way, oftentimes you don't see them coming, you don't expect them, and you don't plan on them. Anybody with me? There are times, and I want to tell you something about this enemy I'm talking about here. He knows your weakness better than you do. He knows exactly where to fight you at. He knows exactly what to do. And that's where in the old scriptures, in the old times, they had a weapon called a battering ram. And they would take that battering ram. Several of them would grab that battering ram. And they would hit at the fortress and they would hit at the weak spot. They didn't go to the wall where the wall was at with the shawl. They went to like where there was a door. And there's one way to get in and through that door. And they're going to batter that door. And the enemy's going to batter at your door. There are going to be little things. Can I tell you this also? Things that bother me, you'll say, what's wrong with him? I try to guard against this from a pastor's standpoint of view. Things that affect you, I might look and think, oh, why is that bothering you? Anybody with me? What are you saying, preacher? Different things affect different ones in different ways. And the enemy of your soul knows how to get you. Amen. There are things in life that won't affect me, but there's things in life that will affect you. Praise God. There comes a place in your life you need to get here. If you get here, you get to a place where you can find God. How many remember a prodigal son found himself in the pig pen and happened to realize that, my Lord, my father's servants have got things there better than I got it. I think I'll just go back to the father's house. Sometimes you get to places in life you don't want to be. And I want to encourage you to know right now, this is in Psalms 107. I heard this term mentioned here a few days ago. There comes a place in your life, no matter where you're at in life, God can still get there. God can still get there, and His presence is there. You can't run from God and not Him find you. Y'all understanding me tonight, this morning? Here's what happens in life. We get to a place that we don't know where to go. In chapter 107 of Psalms, we could read a lot, but this is speaking about the sailors and the ships. Verse 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Whew, that's shouting ground right there. They've reeled to and fro. And I believe you're here this morning. I want to ask you to stand with me. Come get us a song. They've reached a place, and I believe you're here this morning. You've reached a place in your life, and it's a title of wit's end. There has been an attack on your mind. Yes, you've made mistakes. We all have made mistakes. But you get to a place, you don't know which way to go. Hey, man, stagger around. Can't find any direction. But they said in the scripture here, David said, he said, when they called upon the Lord, when He heard their cry, there began to be something change in their life. They begin to be a place, begin a calm. Come on and see. How many like to have a calm? Come on, you'll see. Maybe I'm missing this. I might repeat that. Maybe you're just not saying anything. How many like to have a calm? Come over your sea. There's times that we're real to and fro, that your ship is being rocked this way and that way. Maybe you feel like there's no hope. Maybe you feel like there's no place to go. That's not a bad place when you call on the Lord. When you're there by yourself and no place to go. That would be despair. But when we reach that place of not knowing where to go, He said that when they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, He bringeth them out of their distresses, maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof were still. Let's bow our heads. Father, today, thank You for this service. Thank You for Your anointing here this morning. Lord, we know that You're working in the midst of this people. Lord, touch lives here as only You can. Lord, we just pray today, God, if there's folks that need a touch from You, that they will boldly step out and come around these altars and say, Lord, I need Your strength today. That they will cry out from the depths of their soul and say, Lord, I need You in this hour that I'm walking in now. Father, I praise You right now for victory I've not seen. Praising You for souls that You're going to touch today. And we'll give You honor and praise in Your precious name. Hallelujah. As they begin to sing this morning, reeled to and fro.